Luke, the 22nd chapter, from verse 31, I'm reading the Passion Translation. Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has obtained permission to come and sift you all like wheat and test your faith. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this. After you have turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. But Lord, Peter replied, I'm ready to stand with you till the very end, even if it means prison or death. And Jesus looked at him and prophesied, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Bible before breakfast. Mildred Kingsley-Gungo here. So the last couple of days, I've been looking into the life of Peter. Very interesting young man. So Peter started out firebrand. Very passionate. Very invested. So Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And then he gets to Peter, and Peter says, oh, no, Master, no, you're not washing my feet. There's no way I'm letting you wash my feet. And then Jesus says, no, I must do this, for if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And then Peter says, then why wash my feet? Give me a bath. And then Jesus says, if you've had your bath, then you're clean. I just need to wash your feet. And I think Jesus was really patient with him. He probably loved how smart and bright and sunny he was. He was a very fun guy, very daring, very bold. He was the same person who saw Jesus on water, and he said to him, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. There was no reason why he wanted to walk on water. He just wanted to experience what Jesus was experiencing. So he was the kind of person who would jump out of a boat to meet Jesus and experience walking on water and get halfway. And then suddenly realize, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm actually walking on water. And then looks around and then sees the waves and everything and the wind. And then, of course, he loses focus. He's no longer looking at Jesus, and then he begins to drown. And Peter, being Peter, knows how to reach out for Jesus. He's not proud. He's not the kind of guy who feels like, I got this. Peter knows he don't got nothing. So he's always the kind that will come back to Jesus. And so, of course, he called out and Jesus stretched out his hand and helped him. Peter was the one person who was married and yet left everything behind and followed Jesus. And Peter was just such an interesting young man. Such an interesting guy. And everyone was clear on how passionate he was about Jesus. He was always one of the three. Jesus would call Peter, James, and John. And Peter's name was always mentioned first. I don't know whether it was because he was the ginger guy, like the guy who every time Jesus wanted to do something, his answer was, let's do this, Lord. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. What do you need? He was just an interesting fellow. Yeah, he had a more stable brother, Andrew, I think. I think Andrew was more stable. Peter was just so much fun. Now, at this point in time, where this particular story happens, Peter had been told by Jesus that Satan has chosen to sift you like wheat. But the Passion Translation says that he has obtained permission to come and sift you. So, pretty much, this is one thing people forget, and I think I said that a few weeks ago. The fact that we forget that Satan is created. He's not the creator. He's created. He was a created angel, a fallen angel though, but he was created by God. And he has a job description now, because everything God made is useful. So right now, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the tester. He comes to test what's in your heart. So he has, at this point, obtained permission, like he did with Job. You know, does Job serve you for nothing? Just take away everything. God says, you know what? Do that, but don't touch his life. Okay, you can take whatever you want, but don't touch his life. And so at this point also, Satan had obtained permission to come and try to test their faith, to know whether they really loved Jesus and they were really following him. And Jesus said something. Jesus said, I prayed for you that you will not stray whatever comes your way. But this is where I'm going. Verse 32, he says, remember this after you have turned back to me. Jesus knew he would turn back. That was his style. He wasn't like Judas, who realized what he had done and hung himself. Jesus knew his heart. He knew the kind of person he was dealing with. He knew Peter. And he knew that Peter would survive whatever temptation Satan was throwing his way. He said to him, after you've turned back to me and after you have been restored, because he knew Peter would be restored, he said something. He said, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. Now, if you read this scripture, you may think it's just an ordinary thing, but it's so deep and so power-packed. Looking at Peter's life, Jesus knew. In fact, Jesus made this statement before he told him that you would deny me. So Jesus knew what was to come, but he also knew that he had prayed for Peter and he knew his prayers would be answered. He knew Peter would be restored. So the point wasn't, Peter, you're going to go through this temptation, are you going to make it? No, he knew victory was sure. But he also needed Peter to realize that once you get out of this, once you get back on your feet, no matter what you've been through, once you survive it, remember to go back for your brethren. Remember to make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of those who are likely to go through this as well. So a couple of years ago, when I first got married, I was faced with the challenge of infertility. I struggled with having children, and I'm not even going to go through all the things that were wrong with me medically. But what I do know is that I encountered this scripture in that season of my life. And God told me that when you come out of this, and so I knew I would come out of it, but he said, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brethren. Immediately, I got my victory when I had my three children. I began a ministry called Hannah's Heart, where I started helping other women to find God's word and God's plan concerning fertility and all the promises that God had given. And how, if you stay true and faithful to God in believing his word, that God can be trusted to keep that word. And so I started the journey of helping many other women to find solace in the word and to get their miracles. Now, was it easy to go through? No, but I knew, because of the mission attached to my life, that it was only a matter of time I would get my victory, and that victory would propel other little victories. So I knew there was no way I wasn't going to come out of this, because there were other people's destinies attached to my testimony. So I don't know what that thing is that you are going through. I don't know what that thing is that is really, really stressing you out. I don't know what that thing is that you feel it will never end. I guarantee you that it will end. Jesus said, after you have been restored, make it your life mission. After you have been restored, make it your life mission. Meaning that you will be restored. He didn't say if, he said after, meaning that that is definitely going to happen. Another scripture that I found very encouraging in the Bible, 1 Peter 5 verse 10. Now, this is Apostle Peter, the same person who had gone through this entire experience, now writes this. He says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you after you have suffered a while. Meaning that the suffering has a time limit. The trial has a time limit. The thing that you're going through, that embarrassing situation, that painful situation, that struggle that you have, that thing you're going through, it's for a little while. It says, after you have suffered a little while, it says, may you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And when all of this happens, remember Jesus' words. Make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brethren. So what's my challenge to you today? Don't cry about where you are. Be strengthened. Get the victory so that you can make it your life mission to strengthen your other brethren with the same comfort that you have received. Comfort others in the world. Good morning. What a wonderful way to start your day. Bible Before Breakfast with Mildred Kingsley-Okonkwo.